Breakfast with Aaron and Helen, 5 to 9 weekdays on Hope 103.2.
I don't know if you're aware of something that we're part of at this station called the Drive-Thru Difference. Basically, we invite you, when you're going through a drive-thru or some description, to pay for the person behind you and to leave a little card explaining why you've done it and telling them they can call and let the station know what's happened.
Would you like to hear a call that came through recently?
Yes, this is a new one that's just come through on the Drive-Thru Difference line.
Enjoy.
I just went through McDonald's at West Ryde and had someone buy my meal for me, which I thought was just great. So just putting it out there, if it was you at West Ryde McDonald's, thank you very much. Definitely put a smile on my face.
Oh, good on you, person, if you're in that West Ryde area, that particular shop. Good on you. What a champion thing to do.
Love it. Just a little bit of social capital. You can pick up the postcards either by dropping in and seeing us at number 2 Lebon's Lane in Seven Hills, or you can download them from our website.
There's a new movie being released this week. It's an inspirational film. It's called The Grace Card, and it was the idea and the, I guess, the concept of David Evans, an eye doctor come movie director, and he joins us on the phone this morning. Good morning to you, David.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for having me on.
Run us through the process the best you can of doing a movie, of making a movie, because I don't think any of us have any real concept of what that involves.
You know, it's just something that I became very passionate about seeing some of the other faith-based movies that have been released by Provident Films over the last few years, like Facing the Giants and Fireproof. And I'm an eye doctor in Memphis, but very involved in my local church and writing and directing, various dramas that we do throughout the year. So, I had a great story in mind that I thought would make for a powerful storyline in a movie. So I just began writing a screenplay and try to carry through, each stage in the process, be it in auditioning potential actors or speaking with cinematographers, just trying to make sure that we were doing everything we could to raise the bar and have a product that would be both entertaining yet have a great purpose behind it, and that is sharing this message of grace with people who could come and see a great movie.
Can you take us through it? What's the storyline of your film?
Absolutely. It's a very gritty, realistic story about two Memphis, Tennessee police officers. There's a white cop and a black cop who have definitely have some differences, yet they find out they have things in common. They're both going through some struggles in their own lives, and there's a tragic accident that involves one of the police officer's sons, and they learn some important lessons about extending grace to one another. It is a very gritty, realistic portrayal of real life situations, and but it yet has the elements of comedy and drama and suspense and everything you look for in a great movie. And it's done very well in the United States, and we're just so happy to see it expanding out to other countries, because it's a great message.
You say that, and that it's been modeled and inspired by movies that Sherwood Baptist Church have done, like Fireproof and Facing the Giants. Now, I'm curious in the whole using movies to tell a story like this. Why do you think it's so effective to get a message across in a screenplay, in a movie?
Sure. It's one thing to sit in a church service and listen to a sermon that addresses a particular theme or, a topic. But in this case, I think it's a story, that involves a lot of elements like forgiveness and reconciliation. And I think it's great to see the examples that we portray on screen, which are very believable characters that you've never seen in a movie before, because, frankly, most of these folks have never been in a movie. Of course, Louis Gossett Jr., an Academy Award-winning actor who was the first African-American to win an Oscar, at the Academy Awards for An Officer and a Gentleman back in the 80s. He does a great job in this film, but most of the actors have never been in a movie before, and I think it's a way that it makes such a powerful portrayal on screen, is because you can't identify these folks because you've never seen them in a movie before. So, again, I think the acting is great. It makes the story very believable and kind of draws you in and keeps you hanging on till the last scene.
I guess the danger with putting such a positive story into film can be crossing that line into cheesiness. How do you steer clear of that trap?
You know, it is something you're very right there in what you're saying, and you know, we just try to make sure that we let various people that were very important to us review the script. We had many police officers, take a look closely at our storyline. We had people there with us serving as kind of advisors, if you will, on set while the movie was being made. A police lieutenant, because we want to make sure. Especially in our police scenes that happen out on the streets of Memphis, that we're being very authentic in everything we do. And again, just making certain that, we knew in the beginning we wanted to raise the bar on acting and cinematography in Christian films. We use the best digital camera for filmmaking that exists today, which is the Red camera. And, we're just very happy with the end result and hearing great things on Facebook and people writing in about their take, if you will, on the movie and how it affected them personally. And we couldn't be happier with the reviews that we're getting from everyday people who are going out to see the movie.
Well, yeah, the reviews we've been reading on the Grace Card too, similar, really quite glowing and quite impressive as well. Which is for an eye doctor to become director. I mean, that's an impressive achievement.
You know, I just really feel like there's a certain niche of the population that's tired of watching offensive material on screen. I believe we're proving, along with the Kendrick brothers down in Georgia, with the other movies you mentioned, that it is possible to tell a great story and avoid the profanity and the offensive material that so many people are just so used to seeing. And it's a movie that you have something to talk about when the movie is over. When you're driving home with your spouse or your children, there's so many topics to. That it opens the door for discussion. I think that's what sets it apart from your typical, movie that's showing in theaters today.
David, thank you so much, and all the best in the future. Is this something you think you'll keep doing? You'll make more movies?
Absolutely. I believe, that we now have a passion for telling movies through this new medium of film for folks who are wanting a good faith-based movie to see. And we just hope and pray that there'll be more projects like this being developed, not only from Sherwood and now, Calvary Church here in Memphis, Tennessee, but, communities and churches around the country hopefully will be inspired to do the same thing.
Director David G. Evans of The Grace Card, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much. Y'all have a great day.
She's Irene to us 5 nights a week on Home and Away. Last night she was the lady in green at the Logies. Lynn McGranger, good morning.
Oh, good morning, guys. How are you?
Well, how much sleep have you managed to fit in?
Oh, look, I was a bit of a nana, to be honest, with apologies to the nanas out there. After the Logies, there was an after party. They're everywhere. And there was, in fact, one back here at the hotel for Channel 7. But my feet were killing me.
Oh.
And I had heartburn. I'm such a nana. And I thought, I'll come back to my room and get changed and slip into something more comfortable, as they say. And I got back to my room and I went, I'm not going in.
Yeah, something more comfortable turned out to be your doona.
My bed, exactly. But, it was such a big day, guys. My dress was being made by my lovely friend Michelle Mundy, and I was still trying it on at 11 o'clock Friday night. So my Logie kind of started a long time ago, my Logie's night. And then we're in makeup, basically at lunchtime, and then hair, and then you're on downstairs in the foyer by 4:30, 4:45. You finally get into your table around 6:30. So, come 11 o'clock,
yeah.
You've had it.
Yeah, well, it's not a short ceremony. Somebody was suggesting on Twitter that it should be called the Longies.
Look, hilarious. But I thought it was actually went quickly last night. I thought it was one. See, the thing is, when it goes to air, a lot of it is cut, from what happens live.
Uh-huh.
So for you guys, it would still be this long, interminable show. But for us, it was actually really quite snappy because they didn't cut to a clip of every person who was nominated. And I think they only did it for the, you know, the industry voted awards. And, you know, they weren't forever introducing people who were going to introduce people who were going to, you know, give an award. So for us, it seemed to go a lot more snappily.
How do you think Shane Bourne went as the host?
Look, I thought he was good. I really, you know, we all know that the Logies hosting can be the kiss of death.
Yeah.
I thought he did a good job. I didn't, there was a couple of, you know, I don't know, comments about certain things which I didn't kind of follow. I may have been, you know, texting at the time. I thought he did a good job and he seemed really comfortable. And I think that's half the battle, is that if, you know, if the audience smell blood and they think that somebody up there is nervous or having a hard time, then, you know, they just get bored and restless. But I thought he did a good job. I have to say, well done, Shane.
What did you think of Karl Stefanovic picking up the gold?
Look, I thought it was a surprise, you know, and more good luck to him. I think it's terrific. But I still can't get my head around this whole daytime TV thing. The thing that surprised me was that there was two nominations from daytime TV for the gold. Chrissy, of course, the lovely Chrissy Swan, and Carl. And I guess my feeling is, you know, they don't get that many people watching daytime TV. Mm-hmm. For the simple fact that it's daytime TV, and so that was a surprise. And I think it's somebody said to me last night. It's sort of become a bit of a presidential campaign thing now. You know how they do with the Oscars, how they sort of campaign for it? And maybe the Logies is turning into that. I don't know. But, look, more power to him and, you know, good luck to him. And as he said, it's unusual for a journalist to be nominated for a situation like that, let alone, you know, win the gong.
Mm.
Do you reckon it'd be worthwhile having, instead of the public vote thing and through TV Week and all of that, having a, like an academy, we set up an Australian academy or stuff like that to award votes like that? Do you think that would be a better scenario?
Well, I think they do that with film, Aaron.
Mm.
And I don't know. I don't think our telly industry is big enough for that sort of thing.
Okay.
But it's, look, they kind of do it for the silver, you know.
Yeah.
The industry voted awards. I guess my thing is, and look, I could be wrong when I say this because I don't actually vote for the Logies, is that it seems to me that you can no longer just fill in a little coupon and send it away, but now it's become this online thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that changes everything. I don't think, you know, Auntie Beryl, who wouldn't know a computer if it fell on her, is allowed to vote anymore, you know, unless she gets little Johnny to text it in for the gold. So I think it's kind of lost its lovely simplicity and it's, I think it's become a bit more of a presidential campaign thing.
Interesting.
But, you know, we have to kind of move with the times, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And what were the highlights of the night for you?
Well, I'm not a fan of the red carpet because I always get nervous. And I always think, you know, maybe this is, you know, just my giant ego. But I always think people are going to go, come on, move along. Can that woman in green get out of the way? Get out of the shot. But once you're there, it's okay. And really, it's lovely to meet the fans. And people get so excited. They've been there all day and they're kind of lining, I get it, what do you call it, the bleachers or something, they're lining the stairwell and it can seem endless. And last night it was, I think I was there for about half an hour and I nearly fell down the stairs about 35 times because my dress had a train. And it was just lovely meeting fans who just get so excited and because at the end of the day, they're the people who allow me to have a job on television, because if they didn't like the show or they didn't like my character, I'd be out of there like a shot, you know. So that to me was the highlight. In the night itself, the actual show, I guess I really loved Katy Perry. I thought she was great. And I thought Jessie J was good. Oh, she must have been nervous. So the poor love forgot to pop her frock on.
Yeah.
But you know, these things happen. But it was terrific. It was enjoyable. The food was yummy. And I was sitting between Ada and Luke Mitchell and, you know, friends around. It was fun. It was great.
I can't say much for the hats, but I was very moved by the royal wedding on the weekend.
Okay.
They were
amazing.
They moved me to laughter, tears of laughter.
They were sitting on the forehead, some of them. Yes. It's bizarre.
Sort of miner's torch.
Yeah, yeah.
Sort of satellite dish.
Yep.
A lot strange.
I learned the term fascinator as well.
Oh, yeah, I didn't come across that one.
Which is just a bit of that see-through veil-like material, isn't
uh-huh.
it?
It's not quite a hat. It's just a thing.
The blob on the top. Mm.
If it's not a hat and it's sitting on the head, it's probably a fascinator. That's a safe way to go.
I guess that's what you would say to someone. How does my hat look? You go, it's fascinating.
Yeah. Mate, Princess Beatrice and Eugenie, they had some pretty fascinating hats going on.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I've seen birds of paradise and peacocks that are less adorned than that.
Anyway.
Interestingly enough, 4.5 million Australians did tune in for the wedding.
That's a lot.
Fantastic. Heard Romans 12 read out, heard that beautiful message from the Bishop of London. I was pretty excited about that. But still, not quite as many as tuned in to watch Adam win MasterChef last year.
Really? I thought it was. 2. Was that 5.2 million?
Yep, staggering numbers.
I thought it was 3 mil something. Wow, so it was MasterChef beat the wedding. That's amazing.
Breakfast with Aaron and Helen, 5 to 9 weekdays on Hope 103.2.